Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, everybody. It's so great to be here another week. And I'm so excited about today's show. And so for those of you out there, most of you are in the either in Hawaii or the mainland or mostly in the U.S., since we have some listeners that are in other areas. So for most of you out there, I know the weather's starting to get awesome. And I hope you're enjoying this time of year. And we are going to, instead of splitting our show up today, we're just going to take the whole hour and talk about Markets in the Minute with Jody Tanga. We are going to talk about this market, real estate and mortgage industry market right now that's just changing so fast, but it's still a good market. And so we probably won't take any breaks. If you'd like to call in, it's 347-945-5428. And I'm really excited about digging into this. Markets in a Minute with Jody Tanga. Jody actually does a Markets in a Minute publication that she puts out weekly, and I'm really excited to have her on today. She's going to be she puts it out to real estate agents, brokers, buyers, and sellers. It's loaded with tips for buyers when obtaining a loan today and so much more in this volatile market. I think the rules are changing faster than the speed of light, metaphorically. And Jody certainly knows how to avert the pitfalls and get people from the beginning to the end. And we need to know that in today's market because of the changes. It's just not like it used to be where if you've been in the business a long time and we're used to it, you just can trust what's gone on for many, many years. Things have changed so fast that you almost need to be updated weekly at times. And Jody is actually from Kailua, Hawaii. She's a graduate of Iolani, and then she went on to University of San Francisco where she studied financial economics in undergrad and graduate school, working in banking on the mainland until coming back home to start Pacific Rim Mortgage Company in Honolulu. And without further ado, I'd like to welcome Jody.
Hi, everyone. Good morning. It's 9 a.m. in Hawaii.
It's the early time and then go into later. This is going to be so much fun. Yeah. I'm so excited to have you on. Tell us what got you motivated into starting your mortgage company back in, about 2005?
Yeah, so funny thing is that I had met, I met someone that through mutual friends that owned a mortgage company, and he was, he was doing extremely well in 2004, 2005 period. He had 20 plus branches, and we just got to talking, and he was like, probably you would do extremely well in Hawaii if you were to start, a mortgage company. And so he pretty much, as my mentor, helped me. I did a very little research in it and then just decided to take the plunge and start the company.
Wow. Your background, how long had you been? You'd already gone through, your background's pretty extensive, right, in the banking industry. So did this seem easy to you? Because it's not going to be easy to everybody.
It was something that I guess I really love about myself and about anyone who's a hard worker. But I just did it by working hard. So he helped me. He said, okay, first things first, you need to go get licensed. And then I said, okay. So I looked it up online. I called the DCCA. I collected information on how to do something, how to get licensed. Mm-hmm. And then I just did it. And then once I completed that milestone, we reconnected and I said, okay, we're licensed. And then he's like, okay, you need an office space. And then I didn't look at the 30 steps involved with starting a mortgage company. I just mm-hmm. did it one step at a time. And that's kind of how we do our business, you know, now is we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. And our number one mission is to provide education to, you know, buyers and sellers and realtors and anyone that wants to know about anything that has to do with the housing market. And from that education, they can make educated decisions.
That's wise. It's really wise. It looks like you've received awards and really been out there and doing a ton of business already. I'm very impressed, very impressive, because you weathered the storm through the 2008-2009 market. So, it seems like you didn't even get bruised, and many, many mortgage companies went out of business in that time period. So how did you do that from starting around 2005 to 3-4 years later, you're still growing, we're going strong, when many that had been around for a long time couldn't do it?
I think, so one of my advantages was that during the 2005 through 2009 period, I was basically a one-man show. So I started very basic and simple. I helped as many buyers and homeowners doing refinances, trying to take advantage of the rates. I helped as many people as I could, but because I was only a one-man show, there was just a bandwidth that I couldn't do more.
Mm-hmm.
And so
mm-hmm.
it was easy because I committed myself to, again, work ethic and to making sure I was informing and educating properly that people kept referring. And so
right.
when many, many companies went out of business, that's actually when we really started to grow. And I think we've always been different in that we don't want to cut corners. Even if someone says to me, hey, I trust you because, you know, you were referred by my brother, so just
mm-hmm.
tell me what to do. You know, we would still take a step back and say, I don't want to tell you what to do. I want to make sure you understand short-term, medium-term, and long-term reasonings for why you're making a certain decision. And so I think that was really what differentiated us back then.
That's fantastic. And with the repeat referrals, and that's the name of the game, right, getting repeat business. And sounds you did it. So with a lot of the products would have gone away from the 2008 and 2009. Did you find that, or are you just stuck with traditional loans pretty much? Or
yeah, so we were okay. So when I got in, when I started the company in 2005, it was stated income, stated asset. If you had a good enough FICO score, you didn't have to provide us with any documentation. I mean, you had to let us pull your credit and then state what you made, and we were able to get the loan approved. And then, of course, the shift occurred in 2008 when we now needed income documentation. We needed to verify what you were telling us. We needed to know where the money that you were using for your down payment was coming from. And so that for sure was a shift. But for me, again, because we pay attention to detail, and I kind of liked
right.
the paperwork aspect of it. I kind of liked, you know, collecting the income, making sure that someone who is stepping into home ownership could really afford it. So we talk about affordability versus
sense.
Qualifications.
Right.
Yeah, and it's like, listen,
yeah,
cause on
I mean,
paper.
That makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So on paper, you can afford it. You can qualify. So this computer and this algorithm is saying that, guess what, I get to give you this loan if you want it. But let's take a step back and say, are you going to be able to afford the monthly payments? Are you going to be able to live the lifestyle that you want to live? Are you going to be able to do that annual vacation that you guys want to do? You know, things like that.
Right, and make sure you're going to be able to keep your home and make payments and do the right thing. That's, yeah, such a different. So now we fast forward to, 2016, and it's just like night and day in what we can do, except the, years ago, I mean, I got in 1985, dating myself. They didn't have credit scoring until the 90s, and we actually were able, even as an agent broker, we could actually find out, the buyers filled out financial information sheets that would tell us what they make, how much money they have in the bank. We would do the calculations and the ratios before we would send them to the loan officer. Now, because of all the privacy acts and every privacy situations, we don't ever know that about the buyer. They always, have to go to the lender. We can, if they give us information, we could qualify, but we're not going to know all the details that you're going to know because of privacy. So it's just a whole different world. And I think that the credit scoring that came out in the 90s, I like it and I don't like it, because years ago, if somebody had really good explanations as to why they were qualified for a loan, but why their credit may have been dinged, for example, I remember somebody that was was in the hospital after being and this was years ago in the 80s, he was attacked walking down the street and he ended up in the hospital. It was just he didn't know the people or anything. And he ended up buying a house later, but he had a good reason. He had a lot of hospital bills and a good reason why it happened, and many times people do have good reasons. And I think in today's day and age, they can't get through it unless they wait the 2 years, 4 years, depending on what it is. I think FHA may have something that they can get through bad situations and still buy after a year under certain circumstances, right? There's a lot of so many changes now. But with the FICO scores, do you think that limits people a lot? I mean, even though it is what it is, it's what we're going to have for, as far as I can see, the future,
Yeah. So, credit scoring is something that is brutally unfair at times. And I think that that's more of the reason why it's never too soon. So oftentimes I talk to people that are saying, well, yeah, we're thinking about it, but we're about a year out or we're 6 months out. And so we don't want our credit reviewed until then because we heard it's going to decrease our score. And that's one of the common obstacles that we hear. And consumers are thinking that they are protecting themselves. But in actuality, what they're doing by not letting a mortgage company review their credit and give them a true picture of where they stand is they're shooting themselves in the foot, because you can take steps to fix everything and to stay informed once someone reviews your credit and lets you know where you are. So the credit scoring algorithms are just if this, then that, if this, then that. So if you made a 30-day late, then this is how many points you're going to lose. And also it really has an impact on our younger generation, so our newest home buyers, because they just have a short payment history. And a lot of the strength of your credit score is built from a payment history, which, again, looking at it from the other side, that makes sense, because it's like you've proven to us that you have the discipline to understand that you've made this commitment, you owe this, you borrowed this money to buy this car, you've made this commitment, and you're going to make the payments, every 30 days. And that's what drives the algorithm. But there are a lot of ways that letting an experienced loan officer review your credit can help you. So we've helped people bring up their scores, 20, 40, 60, even 100 points in short periods of time with very little money needed out of pocket, because it's all about understanding the algorithm. So I just think that
that's
people
fantastic, yeah.
The most common myth is, well, I don't want you to review my credit because it's going to hurt me. But in actuality, it's like you need us to, so that we can educate you and then we can make sure that you're ready to buy when you want to buy.
Well, for example, like when people with credit cards, their credit card should be what, under 40% of what, say they, of under 40% of the limit, things like that. Are you going to, you would educate them and they could actually bring their score up quite a bit if they just learn some different tips. Tell us a couple of things that would bring their score up.
So some great fun tips are, understanding that, listen, I know you have a credit card and I know that you're keeping the balance below 40%, which obviously that's like the best one, keeping your balances below 40%. But one of the little known facts is that you want to use it. So if you have three credit cards, then, and you only use one, but all of them are below 40%, you actually want to use all three. Because if one of them goes without being utilized for an extended period of time, that is not going to as greatly affect the algorithm. So the algorithm will be like, well, this one is below 40%, but they don't use it very often. So it's not a very good gauge of payment history. Does that make sense?
That makes total sense. And, you know, I wouldn't have thought about that. I would think, okay, I'm going to buy a house. Maybe just use this one card all the time and let the other two sit. And that makes a lot of sense, what you're saying. Yeah, yeah.
And so we're always okay, with your three, use this one for groceries, use this one for gas, and use this one for your miscellaneous, you know, your outings to dinner and whatnot. And it's like, don't neglect any of them and then keep them all below 40%. That is going to give a much greater impact than just one of the credit cards being utilized. One you may have heard, but it's getting added on as an authorized user. So this is an old little tip and trick that we in the mortgage industry have utilized. It helps with two things. So one that I see are these young adults that are looking to get into home ownership. They have very little credit history. And so they're having a difficult time getting revolving lines of credit because they don't have a credit history. So usually what I say is go with your mom or with your dad or someone that you know that trusts you and get added on as an authorized user on their credit card. Because what happens is you get the entire history of that credit card.
You can actually, they can be an authorized, they get the entire history of it being perfect, all ones, all perfect credit, right, the entire time.
Mm-hmm.
Because so that the credit report's going to pull on them the whole time. Wow. So will it, for example, they go on today for their parents' credit card and the parents had it for 5 years, or they're going to get that entire five-year history?
Right. So you'll instantly have a score. So that's not going to be enough to now qualify for a mortgage because you have to have your own revolving lines of credit to have your credit history, but that will be enough to get you so that you can get your own.
Now, if somebody has credit that, you know, if a young adult has credit and it's not good credit and their parents' credit's spotless and they're just starting to get, you know, and they have some of their own, adding them on the cards, does that still help them, or does it not? Is it only going to help them if they just don't have any credit and they need to get a score started?
That will absolutely help them. So it yes, it will. It will help them. So it's understanding your credit score. And we actually have a seminar, coincidentally, this Friday at Pearl Country Club at 11 a.m., and it's on understanding your credit score.
Fantastic.
So it's just people understanding these little. Also, you can go and communicate with, we know which ones will usually do it, but if there is a 30-day late reported, you can fight it. And I'm not talking about filing a dispute. I'm talking about communicating with the liability holder and saying, listen, I've had this for 5 years. I've only ever made a late payment once. It was an unforeseen circumstance. Can you please remove the late? And that has happened in the past.
Wow, that's fantastic. So it's worth it. It's worth it to take a stand on it and move forward and work on it. That's really really a good tip about letting the for the young adult to be able to use the parent's credit card and maybe not physically give it to them, but at least put them on as an added user. I'm just saying, it's But that's really good. Fantastic. So I would not have thought about that one either. And I've been doing this a long time. You know, the real estate industry. So wow, that's great. So the scores, when you basically the lowest score is probably, what, around 580 that somebody could go into, or would that just be for FHA?
580 would be for, no, you could still do a conventional, definitely FHA and definitely VA.
Okay.
For the military VA buyers.
And then 580 is pretty good then. I mean, that's pretty, I mean, to me it seems like they say the good scores are what, 700 and above or 650 and
yeah.
above?
It would actually, they kind of ticked it up a little. So any what we would consider excellent, which would mean that there would be no, what we call, it wouldn't affect your interest rate at all, would be 740 and above. So 740
and
above, and
okay.
then you're not gonna, yeah, and then you're not gonna have anything of negatively impacting the interest rate that we're able to offer you, and we can't.
Okay.
So we can do the 580, but you're not gonna be getting the rates that you're seeing on the internet, and you know, funny thing about the rates on the internet, I always like to talk to our buyers and sellers and realtors that we work with, it's those rates are with points, assuming a 780 FICO score, assuming 20% down and purchasing a single family home. So if you're not in that vanilla mold, you know, that's not the rate that you're going to get. And what we like to do is we like to talk to our buyers about the power of their money. And so oftentimes paying 2 points is just not going to be cost effective. What we do is we do a cost to benefit analysis and we say, listen, this is the rate you're going to get if you pay 2 points. So on a, you know, on a $500,000 loan, that could be $10,000 in
That's
additional
a lot of money
closing
just
cost.
To get.
That's a,
right. So,
right.
So
and
one point is 1%
say,
of the loan amount for our listeners. So then 1% of the loan is your loan amount, is the point, is 1%.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. So it's a $500,000. Yeah, $10,000, that's high. So you actually give them a scenario and say, why don't you do this X, Y, and Z?
So then what we do is we say, okay, this is if you pay points. And then we say, but this is if you pay 0 points. So this is, you know, $10,000 more expensive, but you do get a lower interest rate. And then we compare the monthly payment and we say, hey, when you look at the scenario where you don't pay any points, you're only paying $60 more a month. So let's figure out how many months it will take for you to recuperate your $10,000. And then we figure out, and it oftentimes it's like 11 to 15 years. And so that's not a very cost-effective way to utilize their $10,000.
That's fantastic.
So,
you said seven. Go ahead.
Oh, I mean, we just make sure that we are educating the buyer to understand the decisions that they're making. So a lot of times they assume that they always want the lowest interest rate. In actuality, that's not always going to be the most cost-effective scenario for them, especially if they could use that $10,000 to maybe buy some furniture or repaint the interior or, you
that
know, something
sense.
That comes along with the new house that they're buying.
That makes a lot of sense, yes. So on that 740 and above, if it's 740 and above, you're going to get a pretty good rate, right, if overall versus like 600, 650. If you're in purchasing the house or purchasing the property and you've got credit card debt, it's really important to watch what you're doing. Listen, you know what, before we get into some of this, because I have some specific questions I want to ask you, and this is awesome, can you tell our listeners, give them your contact information?
Yes. Okay. So this is Jody Tonga. Our company is Pacific Rim Mortgage. The best contact is my direct number, which would be area code 808-223-2761. And if you want to check out our website, it's a little confusing, but it's www.pacrim.com.
So So that's PACRIMMTG.com, which is for Pacific Rim Mortgage. I liked your website. I loved it. I didn't find it confusing at all. So, but I checked it out earlier. So, yeah.
Thank you.
So I loved it. I really did. It was very, very informative. So, yeah, we want to get you to tape your seminars, like your Pearl Country Club seminar, and then we can post it and let everybody hear.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, to teach people about the credit scoring, because they don't realize. So, for example, if you have the 740 score, and you're running the scores prior to closing, right? You're running the scores once and then again, and if they've even spent $200 on a card, that could change their score enough that it could. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. Couldn't it change it? Something so simple could change the score enough that their rate could change even prior to closing, right? Kind of. Little things that they don't think about.
Right, and it's something that most people don't understand. Again, because we front-load the education process, our buyers will know that. So we review your credit to do your initial pre-approval. Then you get into escrow. You find that perfect house. You get into escrow. You give us all the documentation that we need throughout the underwriting process. And then right before the loan is going to fund, we pull what's called a credit no score. And what that does is it produces a credit report that will compare the credit report that we qualified you on. So it'll say if any balances have increased, any of your credit card balances, it'll say if any late payments have been incurred, and it'll say if any of your monthly payments associated with those balances have increased, which affects qualifications. And then the last one, which is a very concerning one, is it will let us know if any new debts have been created. It's really important to understand that oftentimes, because our buyers know, because we've stressed it so heavily in the beginning, but they'll call me and they'll say, "Hey, we're at Costco. Can I charge $400 to my American Express?" Sure. Yes.
No.
We let them know if they can do it or if they can't do it. And
right. But it depends how tight they are. But we've had situations over the years where somebody said, my loan was approved. I just went and bought a car. Oh, my gosh. Like, what are you doing? You teach them up front not to do these things. But it's amazing.
Right.
Yeah. The stories I've heard over the years and been a part. Well, tell us what are some other common issues that you see that come up constantly that bottleneck these loans, and they shouldn't be, you know, just little things, but they're not little things because it can mess up the transaction.
Right. One of the definite most common occurrence that we see is the movement of funds between accounts. And so I'm not saying that I agree with this requirement, but the bottom line is that it is part of the guidelines. And what it is, it's pertaining to anti-money laundering, which is federal law. And any large deposit coming into any account that we are utilizing for qualifying purposes, it needs to be paper trailed. And by paper trailed, I mean we're going to get your bank statement and we're going to review any large deposits. And then we're going to say, hey, where did that come from? And then, you know, the borrower is going to say, well, I have one American Savings Bank account, and then I have a Bank of Hawaii. So I transferred money from my American Savings into my Bank of Hawaii. And so what that does is it now introduces the American Savings account. So now I need your American Savings Bank account for 60 days, a 60-day period. And then I have to look through the American Savings Bank. And then let's say the American Savings Bank has a large deposit. And I'm going to say, Mrs. Smith, where did this large deposit come from? And she goes, oh, yeah, well, we also have a credit union account. And so we move the money from our credit union into our American Express, into our American Savings.
No.
Yeah, and so now we need the credit union account. And so generally what we say is, the best case scenario is for you to give us every single asset account that you have, whether it be checking, savings, IRA, CDs, whatever it is, provide it to us. And then do not move any money, or else we're going to need to see evidence of the money's not only departing your account, but entering your account. So there's
right.
just no more, there's no wiggle room. There's no wiggle room when it comes to the movement of funds. And that's a common one
that's
where
a biggie.
People are like, that just doesn't make sense. It kind of annoys people because
right.
they, it is, you know, it's private. And I get that, but what we do
right.
is we try to let them know from the beginning, we're going to need your bank statements. Please do not move funds. And if you do, please understand that we're going to need to see where exactly where they came from.
So the seasoning, 60 days, right? 60 days on the
60
account?
60 days, yes.
Okay. That's, that makes sense. It's a biggie. And if they're, what about gift monies? If they're going to be gifted funds as well?
Right. So, and that's another thing. So if they're going to be gifted money, then not only do we need a signed gift letter from the gifter. So if it's mom and dad, it's just a simple letter that we provide to you that says, you know, we are your mom, their mom and dad, and we are giving $25,000 from our American Savings Bank account number, blah, blah, blah. We also, just to what we call close the loop on that, is we need to see the money departing their account. So I need their bank statement. And
you need to see where it came
is,
from. Okay.
Yeah, because I could easily sign a gift letter, but in actuality, it could be money not coming from me. And that's
exactly.
part of anti-money laundering. And how, I mean, 98%, 99% of the time, we know no one is doing any money laundering. But it is our job, and it is within the guidelines that we are making sure that that we prove via documentation that money laundering did not occur.
Now, do most of the lenders, are they allowing gifts even, it doesn't have to be a relative like in the old days, or can it be anybody giving a gift?
It has to be a relative. It has to be a relative.
Okay.
It can be a fiancé. It can be your fiancé's mother, your fiancé's sister, your fiancé's cousin. Yes. So fiancé's count and fiancé's family count. But it can't just be anyone. I mean, there is a guideline that it can be a best friend, but you really need to be able to prove that's someone that is of importance to you. It can't just be anyone.
You know, we've always, in the industry, when they're getting gifts, we always want them to get the gifts right away because, you know, people change their mind, you know, so you want to get the gift money into their account as quickly as possible. You know, we've seen things like that happen at the last minute. And
actually,
that's
what we do is we just have the gifter wire the money or provide a check directly to escrow. Because then it skips the credit into the borrower's account, and
that's great.
That paper trail. So it removes one less paper trail documentation that we're going to require.
That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
That's so. What it, the now with the also what other, let's see, issues come up with what other issues that may come up with.
So
on these other sides too, or some things. Okay.
Yeah, some things that I've been noticing often, and this is something we never really used to see as much. But it's unforeseen seller delays. So an example of that would be escrow, which is the non-biased third party that is, of course, making sure the integrity of the agreed upon purchase contract is met. The escrow company doesn't realize that the sellers are either out of state or out of country. And so they don't get the, yeah. And it's so simple. But yet
it's
it causes
so simple. And that's where the agents and brokers have to come in, though, too, to keep up and do every, you know, check on everything, not just take it for granted that that's this other, the other side's job. You know, it's it definitely take it. It's I think it's everybody has an onus to make that extra phone call. So, oh, gosh, that's not fun, especially with on island, you know, people sign ahead of time and then record. It's not, you know, some states they sign and record the same day. So it's going to take more time. Yeah,
it's huge. And then another one will be another one I've seen often is part of escrow's job is to order payoffs, seller related payoffs. So the seller's existing mortgage payoff, or perhaps if there are maintenance fees, ordering the payoff for the maintenance fees. Making sure there's no delinquencies in the maintenance fees and whatnot, right? And so we've
That's
seen
important.
Where we're ready to fund, and then they're like, oh, sorry, you can't fund yet because we didn't get the payoff yet for the mortgage. Yeah. And so that would be – I would say that actually should be a proactive buyer's agent, definitely the seller's agent, and definitely the escrow officer to make sure that those things are being ordered ahead of time. And – one of the reasons, because, you know, we always want to know why. So one of our Pacific Rim Mortgage, we're known for just not taking, you know, if someone gives us an answer, we're not just going to be like, oh, okay, that sounds good.
Thank God. You know, like, better than to do that. Yes. Yes.
Right. We're like, why? Why? Tell us why this is happening. And so it's really interesting. But the reason that escrow gave us as to why it's happening is because they don't want to order the payoff. Or they don't want to order the drawing of the deed, which changes ownership, because those incur costs. So they try not to do anything that incurs a cost until final loan approval, which doesn't make sense because
it's going to cause a delay.
No,
we always tell the escrow companies too, and we have to, you know, we want to know that you're not going to hold up, because lots of times historically over the years, if an attorney's doing, and you'll see in different areas where an attorney will be the, it's not necessary, an escrow company can be an attorney handling it, and they'll wait for till the last minute because of the cost, and we always want to ask and make sure the escrow companies are doing it. And, you know, a lot of the mortgage companies are charging for payoffs when they didn't historically, you know, and I guess that's...
Right.
Yeah, but really, it just makes sense to have everything. But I'm a firm believer in you call on every single thing and make sure on the loan, on the escrow, everything, and make sure it's done, because there's nothing worse than getting to a table and or getting ready to close and guess what? Nobody ordered the termite report. They forgot, you know,
right?
Or something. It could be you know, other anything else that has to that's it, depending on where you are, you know, location. Wow, so that's you really front load then. You really, really, really educate everybody and say, hey, get all this. We want all this. We don't want these bottlenecks in the middle or the end, huh?
We really do. And so what we did, one of our unique, I believe one thing, another thing unique about our company and our team is that we have a position called the concierge coordinator. And I just love the title. But in any case, what the position does is she, well, we have two of them, and what they do is within every single milestone of the loan process, it triggers a follow-up to escrow, buyer's agent, and seller's agent. And what that does is it says, you know, hey, we are well ahead of schedule. Can you please let us know or confirm that the termite inspection report has been scheduled? And if you need help, we're happy to schedule it for you. And
it's, that's wonderful.
And then it's like we do... Right, and so we do the same thing with the condo docs. The moment we get an accepted contract, there is a trigger that goes out from our concierge coordinator saying, hey, condo documents, time is of the essence. If you haven't ordered them yet, please let us go ahead and order them, and then we'll just send you the bill. So if it's a seller's cost, we want to do it because we want to be in control of it to make sure that it's not going to delay the appraisal and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So we will, these concierge coordinators, their sole purpose is to make sure that appraisals get scheduled timely. The termite inspection reports get scheduled. We get the condo docs. It's to make sure that we get the survey. It's to make, like, so basically anything that's not loan related, but that obviously has a huge impact on the timeliness of a loan. It's their job to make sure that we're communicating with all the third parties to make sure that we're all together on one page.
Fantastic. The details are so important. And that one small item can sop up everything. And nowadays, because TRID went in effect in last October, and from what I understand now, they're opening it back up, TRID, right? They're trying to reevaluate it because it isn't working as well as everyone thought it would work.
It has been. It's been difficult for many, many mortgage companies. We have found that because, again, we spent a lot of due diligence understanding the understanding what triggers a delay. We have been able to seamlessly close in less than 30 days, even in the month of October.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Less than 30 days, even with TRID, huh? That's amazing
to
me, because a lot of lenders are pushing it out 45 days. And, you know, we figure we guesstimated about a week to 10 days. And most of the callers should know, pretty much will know what TRID is. But it came out in October 3rd, and there are guidelines, and it's a lot of guidelines. And a lot of the onus, unfortunately, is put on the lender to make sure certain figures and numbers are in place. So many days, it's 3 days before. 3 days before you can close, right? Pretty much.
Right.
And on Island, of course, we say funding and close, or, you know, it's just going to take a couple extra days. So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So what we do is, I believe the biggest factor to making sure that you can close in less than 30 days is no last minute seller or agent credits. That's the biggest delay. And obviously you cannot change the purchase price. And obviously you cannot change the loan program and stuff like that. But under the assumption that those are your purchase price is going to remain the same and your loan program is going to remain the same, the next biggest factor that causes a delay is going to be a last-minute credit. And so what we do is, upon conditional approval, we send out the email that says, and we make the phone call that says, hey, are we in any positions where we're going to be getting credits? Because please keep in mind that if you add a credit at the end of the transaction, it's going to cause a delay. And so actually people have been very receptive to that email, and they've been like, thank you for sending that. Yes, there is. There's a $2,000 seller credit. And that allows us to then, you know, oftentimes it's hard to realize the domino effect, but basically a credit means we have to send the addendum to the appraiser. The appraiser has to adjust the appraisal report. We have to get the adjusted report back. We have to send it to the underwriter. The underwriter has to review, and then we have to redisclose what's called the closing disclosure. And then only after all that happens can the 3-day period begin. So we just make sure that everyone is on, we're all one team. Everyone's on the same page. We're not going to have any last minute seller or agent credits after the CD has been disclosed. And the day the CD is disclosed, we also tell everyone, hey, just so you know, we're going to disclose the CD today. So this is your last chance to tell us about credits. And so obviously we have had some circumstances where a credit has come in due to a final walkthrough.
I was just going to mention walkthrough. What are you doing with that? That's a biggie, because we don't know until the end.
And so TRID actually will allow for that credit due to the final walkthrough, as long as that credit is only going to be applied to closing costs. For instance, it's not going to be applied to a purchase price reduction.
Right, they're not gonna want to reduce the price. They're just gonna use it as a we've seen some home inspection items, things like that, that were supposed to be fixed that may not be fixed, or if something breaks, they're gonna say, okay, so give us a scenario though. What are they gonna just say? Okay, it's gonna come off the seller's side, and we know that, or we're gonna put it on the. What are they gonna do? They're gonna give it to the buyer.
As long as it has to be applied to closing costs.
Okay.
It has to be applied to closing costs, and as long as it doesn't affect the APR by greater than 0.125, which if it's below 1,000, it won't affect the APR by greater than 0.125. And So as long as the APR doesn't change, there's no need for a CD reissuance, and therefore there's no need for the wait period to begin again.
Great. Fantastic.
It's a lot simpler than you would think, but I do know that there's a lot of other mortgage companies that are really having a difficult time closing in 30 days. I think a lot of that also has to do with not just TRID specifically, but it has to do with
being organized. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, it's dotting your I's, and it really is everybody saying, you know, I'm not going to say that's not my job. You know, if you're the buyer's agent, you double check on everything, even, you know, the loan side, the escrow, and the listing agent side. If you're the listing agent, you double check on everything, the loan, the escrow, and et cetera. So that's what I learned, 31 years ago. We just check everything. It doesn't hurt to make that phone call. Has this been handled, right? Is this handled? Because otherwise,
exactly.
Nightmares come up. And gosh, can you believe we only have about 14 minutes left? This has been flying by. It's goes by so quick. This has been
informative.
It's gone by really informative. I got another couple quick questions, and I wanted you to tell us what you're doing, because you're kind of teaming up with agents and brokers, and I love your concept and what you're doing. You're just making such a win-win effort in the market here, too. I got a quick question. Another thing that and I experienced this with the 4506T forms, they used to be only signed by buyers getting loans when they were doing a stated or a no-doc loan years ago. Now, mm-hmm. I guess they're being used on all loans pretty much?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the 4506T forms. For those that aren't sure what they are, they're they go to IRS, and it's the IRS. It's permission. You're giving permission for the IRS to send the mortgage company transcripts of your tax returns. So even though you have given the tax returns, you could have, not that you're fudging it or doing anything wrong, but you could have. So they want to actually get transcripts to prove that what you gave them matches what the IRS has. So I incurred a situation where I have fraud alerts on my credit report, and then with the tax IRS, somebody tried to use my Social Security number a few years ago to run a tax return. They just sent me that in the mail, and subsequently I'm hearing that that's happening to a lot of people. So have you run into anything like that? Because I ran into a thing where I had to get the forms myself for the mortgage company. And that could delay closing if a company's not comfortable. This company knew me and they were comfortable closing, but that's not always going to be the case, right? So
right. What we do is this has to do, again, with a big differentiating factor. But when we first meet you or first meet someone that's wanting to buy, we pre-approve them, and we basically give them the green light to start submitting offers. That process is pretty rigorous, and it's not necessarily something that takes a long period of time. Like, we can give you your green light in 24 hours, but part of that process is pulling the 4506T. And I think most mortgage companies don't do that because it's time-consuming, and it does take a level of support to be able to get the signed 4506T and then submit it. And not only that, but it costs money. So if we're, if we're pre-approving 20 people, it doesn't mean that A, all 20 people are going to end up buying, and B, that they're going to all end up buying with us, right? And the way that we look at it from a big picture is, if we don't know what their transcripts look like, there's no way that we can, without any degree of a doubt, issue a pre-approval. Because their transcripts might come back and A, we find out that they haven't even filed. So they provided us with tax returns, and on paper, they're perfect. But then we get no record found.
Right.
And then that's when we catch that ahead of time. So we call that front loading the process. But so
I love it.
Within this first period of getting to know each other, starting to understand affordability versus qualifications, starting to understand what to do and what not to do, we're also pulling the 4506T. And then people are being able to discover, like, wait, my auntie said she filed those for me. I wonder why it's saying that. And then it comes to find out, oh, it never got filed.
But do you know things get lost in the mail, too? I mean, there's times where you file your returns, and I've gotten to the point where I like to just make sure it's done certified mail return receipt. But now a lot of people do it electronically. Even my accountant constantly goes, I'll do it electronically for you. No, I want to look at it. I don't want you to do it. I want to look at it first, right? And he's been the same
right.
accountant for 20 years. But, you know, we have our – but some people just do it electronically. But things do – the mail isn't perfect. It's pretty wonderful, I have to say. But it does – you know, so things can happen where they don't have things. You know, it's pretty amazing where they don't have the documentation. So – you know, anything and everything can happen. I guess that's where you're really dotting your I's and crossing your T's. I am so impressed with what you're doing. And to be able to close in 30 days nowadays is just, like, not a common thing. It's becoming unheard of. So that's fantastic what you're doing. We only have a short period of time, so I'm going to switch over and talk a little bit about what you're doing for the agents and brokers, because it's just brilliant. And this is Jody. I'm Natalie Mullenix on Realty Universal. Our guest is Jody Tanga. She's with Pacific Rim Mortgage, and you can contact Jody at 808-223-2761. Of course, on island, you know, you don't have to. You just 223-2761. But many people may be on the mainland, and she can help you. We have a lot of people. So you cover the whole state of Hawaii, right?
Yes.
Okay, because we have a lot of people that come from the mainland and buy and out of areas, out of the country, et cetera, right? That's constantly – everybody wants to buy in Hawaii. So tell us a little bit about what you're doing where you're teaming up with agents and brokers and making their life a lot easier and at the same time dotting the I's and crossing the T's just to help to get these deals closed a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm. So I'd love to share. Thank you for asking. My vision or our vision here is to develop long-lasting relationships and, you know, highly professional, offering a high level of service to people to real estate agents that are professionals and intend on doing this for a while. And it's, you know, it's your thing. It's like, it's your thing. Like, mortgages is my thing. And I like to connect with people whose thing is real estate and being a real estate agent. And so my vision is that we will be able to know each other's kids' names and just ride this
mm-hmm.
wave of opportunity and being able to do one of the most rewarding jobs together as a team. And the way that we're able to provide that help as making a team aspect is, I would say, most realtors' number one pitfall is communication or lead management. So being able
mm-hmm.
to keep up with their leads, because we all know when you are working with a handful of buyers and sellers, there's just only so many minutes in the day. But you have leads that are coming in, and those people have questions they want to be paid attention to. They want to go out and also see other properties. And so what we do is we serve or work as a second head, like in a two-headed monster, and we
mm-hmm.
help with qualifying ahead of time. So another
Great.
Common thing that I see is where real estate agents will be driving around these buyers that just aren't yet ready to be buying. And so not
mm-hmm.
to say that you should kick them out of your car and be like, I'm not going to pay any attention to you, get lost. But just to say that you're going to be like, hey, let's develop a plan of attack. Let's find what needs to be done in order to make you mortgage ready. And in the meantime, the real estate agents can then be working with people that are already qualified, already have the green light, and are ready to go. And that's going to save the real estate agents time. And so what we do is we serve as what we want to be the first people contacting these buyers and sellers that are having questions. And then we're then able to let them know the importance of understanding what they qualify for, understanding what they can afford. And then we can say, hey, guess what, Mr. Agent? The Smith family's ready to go. I have all their income. They're ready to go out and start looking at properties, and they know exactly what range that they do not want to exceed, because we've already had the affordability versus qualifications conversation. So that's kind of what we really want to do. Is we want to not only that, but we do it in a methodical manner. So
fantastic.
Most agents, they don't, you know, they're like, oh, I'll call them and I'll say, hey, when was the last time that you talked to John? And it's like, I think I talked to him maybe last week or something, you know. And it's like, okay, well, so what we do is we create on Google Drive, we create a tracker so that the agents can access it from their cell phone or from wherever they are, and they can then see their client's name, email address, phone number, what they qualify for, and the last time that we have communicated with them. And then we highly encourage them to also add to the tracker the last time that they've communicated with them to make sure that they're staying top of mind. So we like to create a level of organization for the agent so that they can lean on us. And then obviously what we get out of it is we build deep relationships with these agents, and then we get to do their clients' loans, which is ultimately a win-win situation.
Right, right. That's fantastic. It sounds like you're doing a good CRM system so that everything's just flowing really well. And then I know that you also are offering websites on listings, too, that tie in with the CRM packages, right? And you kind of so seller on listings, they can get additional exposure for their listings as well.
Yeah. So we create the self-standing individual website for you know, your seller, and that website is fed to the 14 most widely searched property search engines, and it's something that is so basic, yet we have the bandwidth to be able to do it, whereas sometimes, you know, the real estate agent might not be with a company that does that for them, and they don't
right.
have the time to do it. So we're just trying to give them the feel of support and giving them – because, you know, we have a big team. That's, again, that's one of our differentiating factors, is that there's only one loan officer per se, which is me. And then we have a huge team of 15 people that are there to serve and there to make sure that
– fantastic.
Yeah, that there's a high level of communication, because I think the number one complaint in both mortgage and real estate industry is levels of communication. So it's like, I left
Absolutely.
A message for you 2 days ago and you didn't even call me back, you know? And so
Exactly.
as having a deep bandwidth and having a lot of administrative support for all of our trusted real estate agents that we work with, that is what brings our full, I think it's definitely an advantage that we offer to our agents.
I love it. I love it. That's fantastic. That's great. So really, again, your contact information, Jody Tanga, is 223-2761. It's Pacific Rim Mortgage Company. The website is PACRIMMTG.com. Of course, you all know you can contact us at radio@realtyuniversal or realtyuniversal.com as well, and we'll put you in touch. I'm excited. I'm really excited because you're really taking our technology today is making things easier, but if you're not using it, it's harder, you know. And I think what you're doing is great because you're taking all of the new technology with the traditional ways and what people need with customer service, but and making it work. I love it. I love it.
Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you. It's definitely something that we're passionate about, and we love doing it. And it is trying to bridge that gap between utilizing technology and not being scared of it, but yet also understanding the importance of a face-to-face and understanding the importance of picking up the phone and saying, hey, let's talk about this, instead of these emails going back and forth for, you know, 15 different exchanges. You know, it's like, hey, pick up the phone, let's have a conversation, or better yet, let's
it just takes no time. It's that touch base, and that people appreciate it because they're busy too, and they, wow, this was done and this was done, and it's a system, and systems work these days. I mean, systems are what we need, so people can go and enjoy their lives with their family and their, you know, whatever they want to do. Because I mean, face it, when you're buying a house, selling a house, when you're getting a loan, I mean, it should be an enjoyable time, but it's not always the most enjoyable time because it's a lot on your plate, you know, and this makes it
right.
much nicer, much more systematic. So we are at the end of that time already. I told you I was probably not going to put any commercials in, and I didn't have to. It goes by so fast. So, I look forward to seeing you soon. And I am so thrilled to have you on. I hope to get you back. And if you tape any of those seminars, we'd love to work something out with you on those, because I think they're worth their weight in gold, what you're doing for educating the buyers in as far as credit scoring, et cetera, too. So I just want to give you one last parting, if you want to make one last parting comment to our listeners, and then we're going to sign off.
Okay, well, Natalie, I just want to say thank you so much for having us on. We greatly, greatly appreciate the opportunity. And for anyone who's looking at getting education, so it's not even about saying, I want to buy. It's just saying, I want to be informed. We're your people. We want to inform. We don't want to push you. We just want to help you and educate you into making the right decision. So please reach out to us if there's anything we can do to help
well
you.
Well put. Awesome. And to everybody out there, I wish you peace.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.